Welcome to the North Rock Church Podcast. For more great content and updates, visit northrockchurch.com. Enjoy the message.
Okay, so waiting. So that's not necessarily a fun word, right? When I say waiting, how does that affect you guys? Like, do you like to wait? Do you not like to wait? Yeah, me either. Like, I am not a great waiter in restaurants either. Sorry, just got that. We say things like, oh, I can't wait for the weekend. Really? Because we're enjoying our time together too, right, during the week? Or, I can't wait for my kids to grow up. Yeah, I said that. Now they're grown and gone, and I kind of miss them. But so there's some things that we can and can't wait for, right? As a culture, we have made it super convenient to not have to wait for anything. We have our little smartphones we can whip out and get any kind of information we want 24/7. We don't have to wait for it. Just plug it in and go. Credit card companies. I just did this financial peace class, and so this was kind of on my mind. They spend billions of dollars marketing to us to tell us that we don't have to wait. We can just go get what we want right now. And we can order it online and have it shipped in 2 days. Right? It's crazy how we've gotten. And we hate to wait in line. I know, and I'm going to tell on us a little bit, my husband and I, when we go to like Target or whatever. Got your basket full of stuff. Do you get into the longest line? No. You try to find the shortest one, and then if you find another one that might be shorter, you jump lines again, right? Just so we don't have to wait. Oh, just, and there's like a bazillion different things that we could talk about that. Like traffic. Should we talk about traffic? Yeah, probably not. I'm not going to go there. Oh, what about gift giving and receiving? That's probably one of my favorite things to wait for. I'm going to tell a little story on my oldest son. It's his birthday today, so I told him I was going to be telling on him. Nice, happy birthday, Mom. When he was growing up, oh my goodness, he could not wait until Christmas morning. Like, it was just oozing out of him. He would go to the Christmas tree and, like, look at all the gifts and shake them and sort them, and he just was beside himself. And he would wake up at, like, sometimes 3 in the morning so that we could get up and share his excitement with him, right? And when his little brother came along, he would wake up his little brother to have him come wake us up at that early in the morning. And we finally had to put our foot down and say, nope, we got to wait, at least wait until the sun comes up before we're going to get out of bed. And when I was telling him about this, and his wife said to me, he still does that. I'm like, I know. I won't tell you how old he is. Oh, but being told to wait, that's a hard thing. And we're going to jump into our scripture right now and talk about Jesus. After he was crucified, he rose from the dead. He spent 40 days with his disciples. And then he had this to say. It's in Acts 1, 4 through 8. You can whip out your smartphones and look it up if you have to. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So good. Pastor Melissa last week spoke about that question that the disciples asked because they weren't quite sure how to respond to that, and they weren't quite getting it. She had a really good sermon on that, so I'm not going to bring that back up again. I encourage you to go online and listen because she had some really good things to say in there. But at this point, I want to talk about when Jesus said, go into Jerusalem and wait. He promised them a gift, And it sounded like a pretty cool gift. You're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You're going to be my witnesses all over the place. See, this gift wasn't just for us. This gift was for us to receive and go back out because we're going to be witnesses of him. Doesn't that sound amazing? It's almost like he's given a pep talk and then he says, okay, go wait. Like you're sitting on the sideline and you're like, coach, I'm ready. Put me in, put me in. And he says, nope. You need to go wait. You're not quite ready yet. Because Jesus knows us. He knows exactly what we need when we need it. Have you ever had something that you had to wait for? I'm pretty sure we all have. There's plenty of good company in the Bible as well. And I'll just talk a little bit about each one of these, about people having to wait. There's Abraham and Sarah. You know, they were promised a child. And they were past their childbearing years. But the Lord finally did give them their promised child, but it took years of them waiting. Then there's David. He was anointed to be king by Samuel. But if you read through that story, and I encourage you guys to read these stories, they're good. It took years of him running, hiding in caves, like Saul was after him, going to kill him, before he was even realized to be the king of Israel. And then there's the story of the Israelites being sent into exile. The Lord spoke to Jeremiah the prophet and said, tell the people they're going to have to be in exile for 70 years. 70 years before they could return to their home. And even when we think about the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead, didn't they have to wait as well? Jesus heard that he died, but he waited a few days before he went. So there's just waiting all through the Bible. And when I think about the big picture, like the big story of Israel, I think about, weren't they waiting the whole time for thousands of years for the Messiah to come too? Yeah, it's just good. You would think that with all of this waiting, that we would be better at it. We're not. There are different reasons. There are different seasons. I'm not going to get into all of the different reasons and seasons of why we end up waiting for different things. But here are some things that I have learned along the way so far. And I by means am no expert at any of this. Don't try to get out of your wait too soon. Let me say that again. Don't try to get out of your wait too soon. So as I was saying, I've been kind of on this journey and waiting, and the Lord gave me a really good visual aid for this point. So I'm just going to share it. I'm going to call it my bird story. It's kind of funny and not all at the same time. I got up early one morning. It was early February. It was one of those mornings. It was like 1 degree outside. I remember this because I wrote it in my journal. It was so cold. And I was getting out my Bible, reading, and all of a sudden I just started seeing something in the corner of my eye. And out my window, I looked, and we have a patio on our back porch, and there was a bird flapping its wings. And I thought, oh, that's cute. It looks like it's, you know, trying to get going in the morning. Kind of like what I'm trying to do. But as I looked closer, this bird wasn't moving. He was flapping. He was going crazy. But he couldn't move. And so I walked up to the door, and I started to look a little closer and look a little closer. And I realized he was frozen to his droppings on top of our porch. And I thought, oh, that's painful to watch and for him, right? Like, so I called my husband right away. I FaceTimed him. I'm like, you've got to see this because nobody's going to believe me this is happening. Anyway, it took about 45 minutes for this bird to finally wriggle himself free. And in that moment, I thought, oh, that's such a good word picture, right? Sometimes in our waiting, we can get stuck. And it takes the warmth of the sun to melt away our stuff so that we can fly free. But if we try to wriggle and get ourselves out early, just much like this bird, you see, when he's done after the 45 minutes, he had gotten himself free,
but he left part of his tail up on the patio. And so he, when he flew away, he was in pain. You could tell because there was a loud squawk and he was kind of, you know, flying half whatever. And it was just really sad to see. But I thought, oh, this is such a good word picture, you guys. Don't try to wiggle yourself free. Let the sun come out and warm it up for you. And then what? So I started thinking about that a little bit. What if in the waiting, God is trying to accomplish something in me? It might even seem counterintuitive to just wait. If I flap my wings, I do it myself, I don't wait, can't I just get myself out of it? But if I really believe God is who he says he is, if I truly believe him, if I trust him, if I know beyond a shadow of a doubt how much he loves me, wouldn't I wait for his timing? The next thing I want to talk about, it's so important in the wait. So don't get out of your way too early, but don't forget to spend time with the Lord and with his community of followers of Jesus. So important. As I find myself sitting in the morning and just spending time in God's word, and he was reminding me of how beautiful worship is and how really worship is an act of spiritual warfare. When we praise him and remember who he is, it puts everything into perspective. When we give thanks to him and thank him for what he's doing, even if we're stuck or waiting, it's a beautiful thing. It sets our hearts right. It sets our minds right. And it's prayer. It's the beginning of prayer. And let's look at what the disciples did. When Jesus said, go back into Jerusalem and wait. In Acts 1:14, it's just a small little verse in the middle. It says, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and the Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. They joined together constantly in prayer. They were praying for each other. I'm sure they were praying about their situation. I wish I could have been a fly on the wall, kind of, or maybe part of it, part of their little prayer meetings that they're doing, because that must have been so powerful. They didn't try to go their separate ways. They didn't try to isolate themselves. You know, sometimes when we get into a waiting period or we get stuck or whatever, we, you know, want anybody else to know. Just kind of want to isolate, hang out by ourselves. Nope, they didn't do that. They joined together constantly in prayer. And then right after that verse, they talked about what their next step was. You see, they needed to replace Judas. They needed to find a 12th apostle. And so they did. They prayed about it, and they found one, and they put him in with their group. And this all happened before the day of Pentecost. This was while they were waiting. But when the day of Pentecost came, Acts 2:1 says, they were all together in one place. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that they were praying and that they were learning from each other. They were all together in one place. So all together, I looked that up, that all together is they were in unity with one another. And in one place is the physical. This was right before they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. We can never underestimate the importance of gathering together, being together in community with our fellow Jesus followers. We can encourage each other. We can pray for each other. We can serve together. We can go on mission together. And we are better together. Didn't you just love this morning how we got together and prayed for Tiffany and that missions team that was down there? That's what we can do together. It's great. We should be praying for each other as we're walking out our day-to-day lives. But as we gather together as a corporate body and as we gather together, even in little two groups of two or three, let's come together and pray together. We are better together. Okay, so don't try to get out of your wait too quick. Definitely don't forget to spend time with the Lord and with your community of believers. And then don't forget to enjoy the journey. Live your life. Play with your kids. Go to work. I know sometimes that's a four-letter word, but honestly, the Lord blesses us with work, right? He really does. And we can be his ambassadors, his missionaries into our workplace. We can pray for our workplaces. We can pray for our kids. It's called being supernaturally supernatural. Even as the Israelites were in exile, waiting those 70 years that the Lord told them that they were going to have to wait. In Jeremiah 29, 4 through 7. Now, this is the scripture that comes right before the one that we usually quote, and that's Jeremiah 29, 11, "For I know the plans I have for you," that one. This one says, God told them to build houses, settle down, plant gardens, and eat what they produce. Marry, have sons and daughters, find wives for your sons, and give your daughters in marriage. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. I think that's a good word for us today. We see a lot of things happening in our world, don't we? Like, you can't even turn on the news anymore without something hitting you. Breaking news. Sometimes it's hard not to be discouraged. But let's not lose sight of the God we serve, who he is to each one of us. Let's not lose sight of that. We have him on the walls now. He is our Savior. He is our baptizer with the Holy Spirit. He is our healer. And he is our soon and coming King. Right? We just prayed for healing as we were taking our receiving our communion this morning, right? Do we believe that Jesus can be our healer, that he healed us in that moment? Yes, amen. Yes and amen. Do we believe that he baptizes us with the Holy Spirit? Amen. We do. We will receive power to go and be his missionaries into this world. He says to seek the peace and the prosperity of the city to which I have carried you. Pray to the Lord for it. Pray. He doesn't tell us to go and make our comments about what's happening or whatever. He says, pray about it. Let's pray. When we see things happening, let's pray. Let's be our first action. And I wanted to spend a little bit of time praying this morning because it seems like it fits right in with that. We prayed for healing. Where we prayed for Tiffany. When I came into the church this morning, I thought this was so God and his timing. There was a missions prayer list all typed up and ready to go on Brian's desk. And so I asked him if he could make some copies and maybe we could hand them out to everyone. So if you guys would like a copy to be this example, to be this prayer, people of prayer, please pick up one of these right in the back by the sound booth. I would love to have us all praying for our missionaries. We have quite a few of them. Albania, France, Kenya, Thailand. We even have Tiff on here and Alaska. So let's take a few minutes out of our days and our time and let's just pray. If I could have the worship team come up. So we talked about God being our Savior, our healer, our baptizer with the Holy Spirit. He's our soon and coming King. Do you guys recognize this yet? We're waiting for God to come back, for Jesus to come back. He promised. He said he would. And he's never broken a promise, ever. It may look a little different from what we anticipated, but he's coming back. That's good news, everybody. Such good news. We don't know how long it's going to be. Jesus said when he was talking to his disciples, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority." But he is coming back. Will he find us excitedly waiting for him? I hope so. Now let's sing this song, worship, and then I'm going to come back up and close. His name is Jesus, and he loves us. He doesn't just love us, he loves you. He does. All this is for him. If you don't know Jesus as Savior yet, he really wants to be that for you. And I would encourage you to make today the day that you say, yes, Jesus, I'll follow you. I know I need help, and you're the only one that can help me. So let's pray this prayer that we pray here every weekend. And I know it can become a ritual, but let's not make it a ritual today. Let's pray this prayer like we're praying it for the very first time. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and that you rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life, and I give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the scripture, living in fellowship with God's people, and following you in water baptism. It's in Jesus' name I pray and I trust. Amen. Amen. If that was your first time praying that prayer, we have a gift for you. I would love to give that to you. So come see me up afterwards. But in the meantime, let me pray for us. And as we go, let's be naturally supernatural. Let's look for things we can pray for as we're out being missionaries for Jesus. Father God, I just thank you for this time. I thank you for your people here. Lord, I thank you for them and their openness to serve you. Lord, as we go out into the community today, Father, I pray that you would open our eyes to see what we can be praying for and how we can help. Lord, we just give you praise today. We love you so much. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the North Rock Church Podcast. For more information about our church and upcoming events, check us out at northrockchurch.com, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram.